So I detracted from, actually we were just about done with 2 Thessalonians. And I'm trying to figure out probably where we're going to go next is into getting ready for Christmas and the hope of hopes that God brings to us as we celebrate the birth of Jesus. But for now, we're just going to move into Thanksgiving and giving thanks. You know, I've never really understood the power of giving thanks. I used to go around, I love to ask people, how do you pray? And then I listen, and some people close their eyes, and some people pray out loud, and some people have this whole list. There's a whole myriad of ways people pray. I think what's really important, though, out of everything, it doesn't matter how you pray, it's if you pray. And I think it's important that we have concentrated prayer. You've heard me say this over and over, and you'll probably hear it for years to come. You will hear it from years to come. That we need at least 5 minutes or more every day of prayer. 5 minutes of concentrated prayer, one-on-one time with God. Not multitasking prayer. Multitasking prayer is great. We should pray without ceasing. We should pray every moment of every day and every activity. We are engaged with the Lord. We are engaged with God. We are engaged with Jesus. We're never alone. And so we can be in prayer about everything and anything we do. But we should have that one-on-one time, that time of just talking to God. And I just say, literally, take a watch or take a phone out or take a kitchen timer. I used to use the old Bing kitchen timer thing and set it for 5 minutes or more, 10, 15, 20, whatever, the number doesn't matter, but do it every day, every morning, and have some one-on-one time with your Father. That's what Jesus did. He constantly was talking to his Father. He was constantly empowered by his Father. But the thing is I went and I gave surveys and I talked to people about prayer. The thing I found is that most people start prayer with thanks. They start by thanking and acknowledging God. I wasn't doing that. I would start with asking the Holy Spirit to fill me, which is a powerful thing to do. Mind you can do that in 5 seconds flat. You just say, Dear Holy Spirit, fill me. Dear Holy Spirit, take control. And you do that every day, and you let the Holy Spirit take over. And you're acknowledging the Holy Spirit, and you're empowering the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is empowering you in 5 seconds flat. So that's how I always started my prayers, and I still am doing that. So now when I do this, where I give everything up, and I receive, what I'm going to receive is the Holy Spirit. And so I say, Dear Holy Spirit, may you fill me. I literally go in prayer like this now. And I just say, Dear Father God, I give you everything. I thank you for everything. Dear Holy Spirit, I thank you that your presence is here. I ask that you fill me. Please, I receive you. And you can feel the power when you do that. You can feel it. It goes to your very core. So as we get ready for Thanksgiving, we're going to be giving thanks, right? That's what Thanksgiving's all about. It's about giving thanks. Giving thanks for your family. Giving thanks for your friends. Giving thanks for your employment. Giving thanks for your house. Giving thanks for your material goods. Giving thanks for the breath you take. Everything. Giving thanks for everything. Can we get an amen that we need to give some thanks? And as we do that on Thanksgiving, how about we give some thanks to the Lord and some other people hear us do that? That's a powerful thing. That's a powerful witness. So today we're going to be using 1 Corinthians, actually it's 2 Corinthians, verse 14. And it says, now this is Paul, again, all these letters is Paul talking to the churches he's planted. Now Paul's gone around, he's planted all these churches, and he can't get to every one of them. We have a state pastor, an associate state pastor now, and he's putting on like 20,000 miles on his car trying to get to all these churches. Well, Paul didn't even have a car, right? And so he has to get some messages to these churches. And so as you look at the New Testament, all those letters are letters to the churches. He's encouraging them. And he's actually asking them to share with the other churches what he tells them. If there's another church in the area, please go and share the wisdom I'm giving you, the training, the mentoring. So as he talks to the church at Corinth, he says to them, "But thanks be to God." You know, if you look at almost every one of the letters, they start off with the same thing. "But thanks be to God. Thanks be to you guys. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Jesus. Thanks be to the Holy Spirit." He always begins with thanks. It's kind of like that prayer I was talking about. Paul, when he writes these letters, he starts out with giving thanks. He gives thanks not only to God, but also to all the people in the churches. Isn't that cool? Sometimes, you ever feel like you want to get a little acknowledgement? You ever feel like you're not acknowledged? How does it feel when you're not acknowledged? Not too good, right?
It's a downer.
It's a downer, right? So he acknowledges, Paul has wisdom, and he acknowledges the people of the church. He says, "But thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere." Boy, that is power-packed. There is so much going on in this one verse. First of all, we're giving thanks to God because God is the one who's taking care of everything. God is the one who created everything. Jesus is the one whose everything finds his purpose in. So we start out there and it says, "Who always leads us as captives." Now, who wants to be a captive? Who wants to, because when we think of a captive, what do we think of?
A slave.
A slave, or I think of a cell. Like you throw somebody into a cell, you're captive, right? But that's not this kind of captive we're talking about. This is a voluntary captive. That we want to be captive. You know, because captive also has another meaning. You can be captive of something, right? You can have a passion for something. You ever get involved in something where you're writing something or you're doing something or you're in a project, right? And you've got all this passion, you've been working on this thing. I see Debbie shaking her head. I know with her art she does that. I know David does that with his stories. I know a lot of you will get involved in something and you get captive to it, don't you? You get engulfed in it. Your passion is involved in it. So that's the kind of captive we're talking about here. "But thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession." I want you to close your eyes for a minute. I want you to see this as best we can. It's kind of like the book of Revelation, the best we can. But Christ's triumphal procession, what does that look like? First of all, what is a procession? A procession is all these people who are following him, right? It's like a band leader, and you got all these people. He's got the baton, or she's got the baton, and all these people with all these instruments, right? And they're all praising, and all, like, maybe at a football game, and getting the crowd riled up for the football game. You know, it's a procession. It's a parade. And you're part of that parade. Now, how many people do you think are in that procession? Do you think maybe there's 10 people in that procession? Do you think maybe there's 100 people? Maybe there's 100,000 people? Maybe there is, you know, there's 10.4 billion people on this planet. I bet you there's a whole bunch. I bet you there's 5 billion people in this procession that we're talking about. I think of all the churches on Sunday, and they're all worshiping God all simultaneously, all over this world. Even at different time changes. That's the procession. We are in that. And it's a triumphal procession, meaning we are celebrating. "And uses us." Oh, this is where it gets deep. "And uses us to spread the aroma." The aroma. You know, on Thanksgiving, and you walk in, or on Christmas you walk in. And remember when we used to have the real trees? I don't know how many of you still have real trees. I love real trees. And you walk into the house, or maybe they just got a wreath. Sometimes we just get a wreath to get this. And you got that aroma as soon as you walk in the door of that pine. Or on Thanksgiving, you have that aroma of turkey cooking, and the whole house smells like the turkey and mashed potatoes. And as we get ready for Thanksgiving, we'll walk into that aroma. And then Christmas, we'll walk into that aroma. Well, that's nothing compared to this aroma I'm talking about here. This aroma of Jesus on me. That you can feel it. You can sense it. You can see it. You can smell it. All of our senses are awakened all at once. And as we are this procession for Jesus. And people can detect it on us. That we are the aroma, but not just the aroma of Jesus. We are the aroma of the knowledge of Jesus. Now, how is that different than of the aroma of Jesus being the aroma of the knowledge of Him? I think it has to do with this word I was talking about. This word from cover to cover is all about Jesus. That's the subject. That's actually what the Church of God says, that Jesus is the subject. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the question. Jesus is the creator. Jesus is the reason that we're here. Jesus is everything. And we give off the aroma of Jesus, and not just the aroma, but also the knowledge. We were at a church before, and we had to come up with a vision statement, and our vision statement came out to know and share Christ. To know and share Jesus. That's our goal. That's our job. That's what we're here for. To know Him, that will take a lifetime. That will take a lifetime plus. Because we will never completely know Him. He's unfathomable. And then to share Him. And this is the part that really is so important, that we are sharing with others who Jesus is. To know and share Jesus, that's it. You know, in a mission statement, you want to sum it up quickly so that people, when I came out of television and advertising, and we wanted people to remember things. So we would come up with something very quick. That's why all the slogans, you know those slogans that you can't get out of your head, right? At least back in the day, we used to have all these slogans that we couldn't get, these jingles. They literally have people write jingles with melodies so that it would stick in your head. You ever get one of those stuck in your head and you can't get it out?
It's like a song.
It's like a song. It's a little jingle song. We have the aroma of Jesus. And not just of Jesus, but of the knowledge of Him. Paul continues. For we are to God the pleasing. Say that with me. Pleasing. Say it with me. Pleasing. You know, that word, it just kind of rolls off your tongue, right? Pleasing. It makes you feel good. Just say pleasing, right? We are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. Now it gets really serious. For this is a serious matter we're talking about. It gets real. Almost solemn, I would say. Especially as we say perishing. People are perishing out there. You know, as I get older, when I worked at TV 20, this one guy, he was a lot older than I was. And so, you know, at the lunch table, we'd kind of watch, and he would get out the newspaper, and without a doubt, each week he would go through those obituaries. And he would find people, man. And he would say, oh, I knew this guy, I knew that guy. People are perishing out there, right? I mean, if there's one thing that's inevitable, it's that we will perish. We will leave this planet. we will lose everybody. It's without a doubt. It has happened over and over and over again and will continue to happen. It's a given, right? People are perishing, but they're perishing in more than one way. They're perishing physically, but they're also perishing spiritually. Let me tell you, they're perishing spiritually before they die.
Some people are going to hell.
That is serious. That is something to be solemn. But we are the aroma. Think of that. We are the aroma of the knowledge of Jesus. And since we are the aroma of the knowledge of Jesus, we can help the people who are perishing change to the people who are saved. And to the people who are saved, we are a pleasing aroma. Not just to God, but also to the people we talk to. It's a twofold thing going on here. We are pleasing. The aroma is pleasing. It's like the incense of going up, the prayers going up to God in heaven. It's a pleasing aroma for Him. It's a pleasing aroma of His Son. And it is coming off of us. We are in this triumphal procession of, what did we say? 5 billion people, all these people at church simultaneously, all the people that believe in the Lord simultaneously, that is a triumphal procession, and we have this aroma coming off of us. Whoa! To even be honored to be in that procession. And it's as simple as, Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior, and boom, I'm part of that procession. Could it be? I think sometimes we stumble because it's so simple. I think, you know, it's as easy as that one song, Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so, and boom, drop the mic, right? For we are to God. You know, I don't know about you, but I care about what God thinks about me. And you know, I know that He's so amazing that I can't fail Him. I even had that conversation. I was on a project of some sort, or I was doing something, and I said, you know, Lord, I'm so sorry I let you down. And He said, Tom, you can never let me down. Wow. Have you ever heard that from anybody? That you can never let them down, no matter what. You know, He is that good. He is that graceful about us. But I still want to please God. Debbie said that to me one time. She said, all I want to do is please God. And I just, man, that has stuck with me all these years. I so want to steal it. And I am. I just want to please God. We are that pleasing aroma of Christ to God. Wow. Among those who are being saved. So among our brothers and sisters in the Lord, we are this pleasing aroma. You guys are a pleasing aroma to me right now. As I look at your faces, I see your spirit. You guys really cheer me up. You do. Day after day after day. All the people in my life that have poured into, they cheer me up. They root me on. They encourage me. And for those who are perishing, let's see what Paul says. To the one, he says, we are an aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task, such a task? Who is equal to this? How can we possibly be in this procession? How can we possibly have this aroma? How can we, you know, and the thing that's so funny is people struggle about being good enough. I talk to all these young men all the time, especially now with the men's group, and it's all about being good enough. Do we read enough? Do we do enough? Do we do that? Have I sinned? Have I messed up? And you know, God's not looking at any of it. He's just seeing and feeling and smelling that beautiful aroma of His Son coming off of us. That's the only thing He cares about. Is, do you got that aroma going on? Not what you did, not what you didn't do, not all the sins. I mean, we're all messed up. Let's face it. Come on now. Let's get real here. And God knows that. Why do you think He gave us His Son in the first place? He gave us His Son, so when His Son was glorified, I was just reading about this again, and it was always a striking thing to me that when Jesus died, He was glorified. And when He was glorified, He sent the Holy Spirit to embody us, to be inside of us. And now we have that pleasing aroma of Jesus because the Holy Spirit is in us. You know, it's very simple. Jesus loves us. This I know because the Bible tells us so. But it's also very complex. From Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, revealing all these nuances of how God did this and why, and how beautiful He has made us. And to those who are perishing, I want to really concentrate on that part of this. Because I can celebrate the saved day and night, night and day. We can just have a big old party here and say, hey, you guys are cheering me up. Yay! But those who are perishing, it's real. It's happening. We will lose people. It's like my friend with his obituary column. It's going to go on. It's going to happen. But were they one with Jesus? Whenever I do a service, the thing I care about most, the first question that I ask, is what was their relationship with Jesus? Because that will tell the entire eulogy. And I haven't had the misfortune to have to do one yet of somebody where I had to, I don't know what to say, I've never had to do it, that they didn't have any connection with Jesus. It's going to be a real bummer. It's going to be a bad service. We can talk to a lot of people perishing in that service. But I can't talk about heaven and about them being in the glory of God forever and eternity. And it's really hard not to do that at a funeral. But people are perishing, and it's getting worse. More and more, we are in an age now where people don't even know God exists. At least in the Old Testament, at least in the ancient times, they had enough sense to know there was a God. Even if they got the wrong one, even if it was a sun god or something, they at least had enough sense to know there was a God, that they weren't the center of the universe. But we came up to this place about in the 1900s where we became the center of the universe because we got so smart. We got so intelligent with science and all the facts and figures, and we figured everything out. Really? You think we figured everything out? I don't think so. We can't even create a tree, much less anything else. To the one, we are an aroma that brings death. Why does that happen? How does that happen? We are the aroma of Jesus, and those who are perishing can sense it. They can smell it. They can see it. They know it. Deep in our spiritual, deep in our heart, deep in our core, we are searching for God. Everyone is searching. Everyone is hungry for God. We talked about this one time in our life group that, you know, we have this gigantic hole in our heart. And we keep throwing stuff in there. It's like a bottomless pit. And no matter what we throw in there, it doesn't fill it. It just keeps going down like a black hole into the pit of the universe. And no matter what, have you experienced this? I mean, okay, I want that Mercedes, okay? And I finally save up enough after 12 years and I get my Mercedes or my Jaguar or whatever it is. And then, you know, I'm good. I finally got it. I'm happy. I'm content for a week. And then I see somebody with that, you know, that other model of the Mercedes that has a convertible top and is that blue metallic and with those sport wheels, it's got a little faster engine. And all of a sudden my car is not looking so sweet anywhere. Or maybe it gets dinged up in the parking lot. I don't know about you guys, but that drives me crazy. Or maybe it's just getting old and dilapidated. Maybe I can't even afford a new car. And whatever it is, it goes into the bottomless pit. And what we discovered, and I gotta give credit to Greg, because we talked about that this bottomless pit is more like a barrel, and it's got a leaky bottom. And we need something to throw in there that we stop, put a stopper in there, okay? Because we just keep putting stuff in there and draining out the other end. And so Greg came up with the idea, let's put love in there. And then we came up with the idea that love is God. So what we're really doing, we're putting God in, and God is Jesus. So we're putting Jesus, God is Jesus, it's the Holy Spirit. So we're putting God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit into this hole. And all of a sudden, magically, the stopper is there, and it's not draining anymore. And we don't need a Mercedes or a house or a relationship or anything else, because our vat is full. It's overflowing. We are that aroma of fullness, of wholeness. Wholeness and holy are very, very close. We are holy. And finally, Paul says, unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, as those sent from God. We are sent from God. We have the aroma of Christ. We are in that procession, and we are sent from God. We are sent where? We are sent to those who are perishing so they don't have to perish. I'll tell you, I told you the elevator story, and I'll tell you that again. That when I was in that elevator at work going up to the 7th floor, 12th floor actually, at TV20, and I got on an elevator, it was filled with people. I looked around at all the people, and I was really pretty bashful back then. A little bit different. God's been working on me. Maybe it would have been different today, I don't know. And it crossed my mind, should I say something to somebody about Jesus in this elevator? But they're all business people. We're going to work to get their briefcases, you know. They don't know me, and we're all just waiting for the little ding of the door, and it opens up, you know. It doesn't always feel like the best time. So anyways, I didn't say anything. And I got up to, you know, and I get to the 3rd floor, and a few people get off, and I get to the 5th floor, a few more get off, and by the time I got to the 12th floor, you know, most everybody's off the elevator, I get off, and then I walk, and I'm thinking to myself, I didn't talk to anybody.
You should have.
And I should have, thank you. Thank you for that conviction. and I thought to myself, I wonder if those people will make it. And then I thought to myself, I wonder if God would show me the people who did not make it on that elevator, and I didn't talk to them. And then I thought, you know, well, God is way too merciful for that, and he is. But I can think about it. So I've never forgot that elevator ever since. We are in an elevator of life right now, and there are floors, and people are getting off. And it's that obituary column my friend was reading. They're getting off in that obituary column. Only they're not going to an office, and they're not getting off at a floor. They're getting off life. We are sent from God. So what do we do with all this? You know, because knowledge is wonderful. Knowledge feeds us. We have a little bit more understanding. But if we don't do something with it, so, I think we start with just giving thanks. Because that's the motivator. That's our understanding. That's where we're going to share from, because we're already filled up, right? We have to give thanks that we're filled up. We have to have something to give thanks for, and we got to know what it is so that we can share that, right? So we start with giving thanks. And then understanding. Because this is really deep what we just got into, okay? Understanding that we have the aroma of Jesus coming off of us. Do you know that you have the aroma of Jesus coming off of you every day, every moment, every minute, that people can sense it. Have you ever met somebody and you knew they were a Christian? You could sense, they didn't have to say a word. You could sense it. People, both perishing and saved, can sense it coming off of you. And when we speak, oh, that changes everything. Especially, we were talking about this the other night, you know, especially if we smile. If we smile and if we're pleasant, if we're kind, if we exhibit that fruit of the Spirit, they can really sense it now. They even got some proof now that you're a little bit different. You know, you're facing a crisis, yet you're smiling. What is wrong with you? Maybe it's what is right with you. And so as we have that, we give it to others. So we have to give thanks. We have to know that we have that presence. And then we have to share. So this Thanksgiving, here's your assignment. I want you to have a spiritual conversation. I want you to talk to somebody about God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit or all three. Maybe you'll share how you feel about that. And I want you to listen. And if they aren't there, that's okay. Let's just hear what they got to say. Let's not try to shove whatever we have down their throat. But let's just have a conversation. But I want you to do something before you have that conversation. And I want you to say, Dear Holy Spirit, it takes 5 seconds. You should be doing this every day, by the way. It was an awakening when I found out this one. Dear Holy Spirit, may you fill me. Dear Holy Spirit, may we, whoever I'm talking to and I, hear what you have to say. And boom. It doesn't matter what you say after that. Because God's speaking now. And that aroma's coming off. It's all in the works. And I'm going to tell you, you won't even know it. You might find out 5 years later that, hey, you know that Thanksgiving 2024 when you sat down with me and had that little conversation with me? Well, that changed my life. From that day forward, I gave my life. I didn't ever tell you that. That's that ripple effect that is happening every moment of every day, especially as we get purposeful. So that's what Paul's talking about here. He wants us to be aware that we have this aroma. This aroma is going up to God, and God is pleased. It's going to those who are saved, and we are encouraged. And it's going to those who are perishing, and they are feeling a conviction, like they got to do something. And then if we open up our mouth, and we actually speak, and we ask the Holy Spirit to speak for us, everything changes. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we are not worthy. We are not worthy to be in this procession. We are not worthy to have that aroma of Jesus on us, but yet you've made us worthy, Lord Jesus, by your ultimate sacrifice. We are not worthy, dear Holy Spirit, to have you embody us, but yet our Lord made it so that was possible. Dear Father God, may we go forth and share the worthiness that you gave us with others who do not feel like they are worthy in this world. This world will just cut us down. And we need somebody to lift us up. May we be lifted up with you. May we lift up one another. And may we lift up those who are perishing. May we have a deep, deep burden and compassion for those. This we ask through the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One, give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks to the grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy One, give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Receiving the Lord as we respond to the message that He gave us today here in the presence of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit.
Give thanks to the grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because it's given Jesus Christ, His Son.
And he does this week after week. It doesn't matter if it's Mary or Julia, and he just keeps reinforcing. Yeah. And so there is that we're praising. Thanks with the open arms of Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you see the exact same thing we talked about at the very beginning? That we have these open arms that are giving everything, giving thanks, giving our burdens, giving everything to God, and yet we are receiving. So we're giving thanks, but we're receiving Jesus Christ. So as we have these open arms, we are giving everything up, and we're receiving everything we need. God is so good. He gives us everything we need. Boy, if we could ever figure that out, we would be content. If we could ever figure that out, we would be happy in our circumstances. If we could ever figure that out, we would understand that presence, that aroma that we have. And as we gave thanks, we would understand that we're actually receiving more than we ever give. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we give thanks to you. We give thanks for your Son more than anything. We give thanks for your presence, which is so almighty around us. We give you thanks for the Holy Spirit who embodies us inside of us. That is too amazing for words. We give you thanks that you just love us and forgive us. And you don't judge us. You just love us. We give thanks that you use us to help somebody else find you. We give thanks that you created us, and we find our purpose of living in you alone. We give thanks as we get ready for Thanksgiving. We give thanks. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord Jesus. Have an amazing Thanksgiving. Go and share the Lord. Share that aroma.